Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another night of Full Spectrum Radio. I am Matt, and with me always is Dennis. What's going on, dude?
Oh, you know, just the same old thing. I'm vertical, good, healthy, strong pulse, and I'm looking at the right side of the dirt. What more can I ask for, brother?
That's a damn good way to put it.
I look at it this way, man. If I'm looking at the right side of the dirt, me and the coroner ain't talked yet. It's a damn good day.
Well, so, it'd be a bad day. It'd be a bad day for the coroner if you talk to him.
I'm willing to bet he shits himself.
Hey, ouch! That hurts. Don't cut there.
What's wrong with you?
Why would you do that? I'm like everybody else, just mean to me. Why are you going to be mean to me?
Or, or really mess with me. Oh, that little one left. Yeah. Oh, there it is. Yes.
Oh, that was that itch I was dying to scratch.
Exactly. No, you dirty birds, we weren't talking about it that way. Get your mind out of the gutters. What's wrong with you?
They're obviously friends of ours. That's why they tuned in. Where else would you expect their mind to be?
Yeah, this is true. This is true. But hey, I do want to throw out something really quick on a little more somber note. I talked to a friend today, and a different friend, but informed me that a person I've known for a very, very long time and been friends with, her family ran into a little bit of not good news and not good situations. What happened is a guy that I've known for a long time, over a decade, passed away as of January 2nd. And it was my friend who I'm talking about, it was her dad. His name was John. And later, February 2nd, John's mom passed away. And I just want to give my love and condolences to the Bright family. They were a huge part of my life for a long time. And I just got word today about both things. We lost a little bit of touch, but it is something that means a lot to me because I was a big part of their life and they were a big part of my life. So my condolences and love go out to the Bright family.
Most definitely on behalf of URN Radio Network and Full Spectrum Radio, our condolences. And certainly wish well for the rest of you in dealing with this.
Yeah, like I said, it was information that I got today that not like there was anything I'd be able to do other than just be there for the family, but I'm gonna reach out to them tomorrow and see if there's anything that they need from me because they were, like I said, a huge part of my life and for over a decade. But anyway, on a little different note, I ran into a situation today of a don't judge a book by its cover. Not saying that I judge anybody, but I went with one of the guys from work. Well, yeah, because I've read your book.
It's a dirty book.
But I ran with one of the guys from work, and I'll bring a little bit of weather into this. We were driving in snow and slush and just crap. And we had to go deliver a motorcycle and pick up a motorcycle. So on the way after we picked it up, we stopped at this little shithole. Well, it was a big, big shithole restaurant. That the food is great, but it's just, it's a place you go to drink your sorrows away and not leave happy. It's just very depressing. The windows are tinted. It's like it could be a strip club almost, but it wasn't a strip club, mind you. It's called Rookies. It's like a sports bar. So I went there, and me and one of the guys from work were sitting there waiting for our lunch, and this group of three people walk in, and they were very, very nice suits, more middle-aged people, long pea coats, nice shoes, just very, very prim and proper, the ones that you look at them and say, what the hell are you guys doing here? But we were sitting there watching the Seahawks. Congratulations to the Seahawks, by the way. We were watching their parade, and I overheard that the whole conversation all throughout lunch and everything, since they walked in till we left, the guy was talking about how he booked a paranormal cruise for him and his wife, which I wonder if that's the one that Jason Gates and all those guys are throwing. I don't know. But Chris, the whole time they were talking about all these places, how him and his wife travel the country and investigate, and then the woman and the other guy were commenting about, well, what's this, what's that? And there was like so much interest and so much excitement. And when you look at these people, you wouldn't think that they were investigators. No, the one guy was, and that the other two were interested in it. But I just thought that it was just one of those situations.
Yeah, you were expecting them to talk stocks or, you know,
day trading
or something like that.
Yeah, not about EVP and
going.
Not about EVP and ectoplasm and like all this stuff. And Dennis, you'll probably slap me for this, but I didn't interrupt their lunch and drop off a business card or mention anything about paranormal. I didn't want to interrupt them. They were there for that, not there to talk to me. So I let them be and just walked out with a, wow, that was something I wasn't expecting out of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's from the, and pardon me if I insult anybody, from the lowest dregs of society all the way up to kings and queens. In this world, there have always been those that have known about paranormal. So why wouldn't they be? And it could be the spirit cruise that is headed to the Bermuda Triangle, by the way, that Carrie Ann Versace and so forth are doing.
Could
so,
be.
As far as I know, that's the only one that's going on, but I haven't seen any advertisements for others. But that's definitely kind of cool, man. I mean, I've got friends that, you know, they could really care less about it and just laugh. And really, so you think you talk to ghosts, huh? No. I know I do. hey, you never know. So,
true.
We have a tie-in with tonight's guest. Everything that we've been talking about so far, you know, we've spoke about the paranormal. We've spoken about me causing the coroner to shit himself. We've spoken about the spirit cruise. Unfortunately, we've spoke about some dear friends that are no longer with us. So who we have with us tonight is Chris Palisone. He's with Tri-City Paranormal. Chris, are you in with us, my friend?
I am.
Excellent. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you very much.
So give us just a little bit of insight about yourself and how it ties into what we've talked about so far as to how you do your investigation, sir, and what you're studying up on to enhance your investigations.
Okay, well, mine started with the paranormal a long time ago. Probably I was 12 or 13, sitting in my grandmother's house. We lived in the townhouse, and my mom lived two doors down. And it was just one evening, and just sitting there, and the dog started acting funny, and I look over, and my grandfather, who had been dead for 11 years, was sitting in a chair. I looked over, he looked at me, he smiled, he stood up, walked away, and walked through the wall. And about that time, like I said, my mom lived two doors down. I ran out of the house and stayed at my mother's house for quite a while. To the time I lived with my grandmother. After that, I wouldn't really stay in that house by myself. I was still, you know, a teenager. As time went by, I started getting interested in the paranormal and, you know, just play with it a little bit here, a little bit there. Until, you know, I was sitting around back in 2005 and saw Ghost Hunters. And I went, holy crap, this works. People actually do this. So at that point in time is when I started going on a search for people around the area. Found one that did more like, it was a meetup group. So it was like going out on, you know, little field trips. And I was like, this is not what I want. I want the true investigations. Talked with somebody, went with another group, didn't work out. Then all of a sudden I found the group I'm in now, Tri-City Paranormal. I was doing the research on it, and at the time, the founder, who is no longer with the team, obviously he'll always be the founder, and I talked to him a lot, had known each other through before he'd actually helped teach my paramedic class. So I was like, oh, how cool is this? So I got in touch with him and said, hey, man, I'm really interested in this. Sat down, talked to him, and became a member of the group. Within the first year, I'd moved from investigator in training to investigator to tech manager to co-director. At which point in time, he kind of stepped away to go run a volunteer rescue squad, and I moved over to director. And when he came back, he says, I'm not taking anything back. This is your show. You run it. I brought in a lot of people. The team I have right now I wouldn't ask for anything better. I couldn't. We started doing a whole lot up to even as of last year, we signed on with Ideal Event Management. And I go out and lecture on the medical aspects of paranormal, which, like we had spoke before, Dennis, a lot of people haven't touched on yet. For the people that are listening, I work as a medic. I've been and started EMS going on 21 years now, and I've even at one point in time was a licensed practical nurse. So I started looking at it, and at the time, so did the founder because he's a flight medic. We started looking at, well, what is the medical aspects? What can we look at to research to see if not only if it's scientific, but if there's some medical standings in this as well? So that's where we're at now. We're doing some research on, the physiological aspects of what happens when we go into these places that are possibly haunted. So that's about what we're doing right now.
So, I love this research.
Yeah.
I seriously do.
What did you say now?
I said I love this research because both Dennis and I, coming from the medical field in the past, is a constant in the back of our minds, and just exactly what you're doing is exactly what we try and implement in a lot of things, but not using the same equipment and everything that you do, just because it's hard to get a hold of as a civilian.
Absolutely. And it's not cheap, like you both know.
Exactly. But, both Matt and I have at one point in time run ambulance. So we're familiar with a lot of that aspect, which, by the way, Matt, we have a very close friend of ours that is a RN that's listening also. You'll know who he's talking about.
I believe I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yes, our darling friend Tracy. Thank you for listening in. And she wants to know, Chris, what are you monitoring and how?
Well, we actually started monitoring. We do take portable. We actually have we found a handheld EKG machine. Now, it's very rudimentary by medical standards. Just goes off of pretty much two leads. You put two thumbprints on the thing, it'll read it for 30 seconds. After that 30 seconds, it will give a little bit of a wavelength of what's going on, heart-wise. A heart rate, the ST segments, the QRS, and as many times as you do that, what we do is we usually get one investigator to go in, do it before he goes in for a baseline. Once they go in, if they start feeling something, hit the thumbs, and it records it. When they come back out, I download it onto my computer, and I can pull up all the statistics of what was going on. We have brought in actual EKG machines that I actually put on myself, which brought up more questions when, like I said, we were sitting in one place, and I did a baseline, and I was about 70. No problem. So we get up, we move, I sit down, wait for a minute, goes back down to about 70, sitting there talking, and I'm feeling perfectly fine, but my heart rate jumps up to 100. Okay, now that's where I start questioning. Is there something going on that my body can react to and starts to activate the fight-or-flight response like we talked about, or what is going on to make my heart rate stay at 100 when it's at 70 usually? So those are the questions we're trying to get to. We bring in an EKG machine. We brought in in-tidal CO2 or carbon dioxide detectors. We bring both of those, actually. We bring in pulse oximeters. And we're trying to figure out a way to actually get in either in touch with or get one where it's a portable electroencephalograph where we can actually read the brain waves. So those are some of the types of equipment that we're using as of right now. Just mainly EKG, pulse oxes, the in-tidal CO2 detectors, and those kind of things.
Well, here's one about the EKG. If it's hooked up to you personally, if you were getting a baseline reading of 70 and then it would jump up to 100, but you felt the same, and how many times have you performed that same test? Have you done a control, same environment to where you've gone back to a place three or four times, done the same thing, but that time it was different?
We've gone back to the place, and I've done it. It hasn't been three or four. It's been twice. It only happened that one time in that one location. In that one place in that location was the only time for that amount of time I've never had it happen.
Well, the reason I was asking is more in a Mythbusters viewer fan mail kind of thing where they say, oh, no, well, you should have done this or you should have done that. But, if you had done a baseline and it's coming back to where you are having a spike and you're feeling normal, that would kind of cancel out almost like an environmental paranoia or something like that. Like, I don't know this place. I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
So you could elevate just due to stress, but you're not going to feel any different.
Right. Right. And with this field, it's all theoretical. Everybody does certain ways, So there's always going to be somebody that says, well, you should have done it this way, you should have done it that way. Well, there's always going to be those, everywhere, because there's so many thoughts and so many ideas of how to do this, and nothing has been truly proven. So, I agree with everybody. There's always different ways of doing things.
Oh, definitely. Now, let me ask you, when you get any changes in pulse rates or any of the baselines that you had as a standard, as your static line, are you having any instrumentation changes, K2 hits, fluctuations in EMF meters?
At one location, yes. Most of the other times it's kind of a hit or miss, but the one that we had where we had one person in there with, and we actually borrowed one of the high-tech 12-lead, every bell and whistle, blood pressure, in-tidal CO2, and had her hooked up to everything. When she would start feeling it or feeling like something was around, we actually a couple times had things go off saying, we've had a millimeter go off. In a REM pod, I believe, as well. But, again, that was one time throughout the, couple of hours we were there. So, we're the biggest skeptics of our own evidence anyway.
Yeah, well, we're supposed to all be.
Right.
Now, in addition to, the leads and everything that you had hooked them up to and drew your baselines, had you already done a background on any medications or anything that they were taking?
She was actually our member. It was actually our case manager that we hooked up to do it.
No, but I mean, were there any medications that she was on that may have caused?
No.
Because I know a lot of times, any time that I'm doing my initial interview or something on a potential, I want to find out what meds they're on. If they're on a med that, is slightly off and it could cause hallucinations, I certainly need to know that.
Right. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we actually have a a paper that I voluntarily give our clients. Most of the stuff that we're researching, when we do research, we're using it on ourselves. We're going into, like, the places that nobody lives at. It may be like a museum or something that, you know, nobody lives at. It's a museum of some sort that supposedly has hauntings. And we'll go in and go in and go in and do a lot of our research on ourselves, because there's way too many differentials when you go into a client's house. At least you can control a little bit more if it's just you, you know. So that's where we do our research. But when it comes to, you know, clients, like I said, we have a sheet that I tell them they don't have to fill out if they don't want to. It's voluntary. What kind of medication they're on, what kind of history do they have, you know, that kind of thing. Because a lot of people don't realize, even stuff like people that are on antidepressants are called SSRIs, and there's a syndrome if they come off of it too fast, it's called SSRI withdrawal syndrome, and that's where the hallucinations and stuff come from. We've had a client like that, and I had to go back to him and say, we really didn't find anything in here, but let me explain. This could be a reason why, because you came off of this antidepressant without, you know, talking to a doctor. You just straight cut it off, stopped it all immediately, and that could be a reason why some of these things are happening.
And that's one of the things that I think, you know, again, it goes back to we all do it different, but that's one of those things that I think every team should be doing. Yeah, find out what meds the client is on.
Absolutely.
You know, if they've got a stack of DVDs over in the corner of, you know, every episode
movies.
Of Ghost Adventures and every episode of Ghost Hunters and every horror flick that's been out, you may just have one that might be a little BSC.
Absolutely. And actually what we do nowadays, because we had gotten to a point where, you know, when we started rolling the ball with the team, people would call, we'd go out. It's gotten to a point now where people call, and I will go out and do a interview. So I'll go out, check out the house, talk to the client, and get somewhat of a feel. Like you said, I look for those things, like the DVDs. I look for any kind of medication. I look for any kind of behavior that may be a little off. And if I can, I like to take my case manager, mainly because she's an office manager for a neuropsychiatrist. So, and she talks a lot with him. So she's got somewhat of a, you know, she kind of sees the behaviors as well in her office. So, you know, if it's something like way off, I just feel like something's off with it. I'll still go out and interview, but I'd rather her, both of us, be out there and just kind of feel it out and see if it's really something that there's substantial or not.
Well, and that's a definite, really, really good point to bring up. For people like the three of us that are talking right now that have a medical background and that have an idea of adverse effects from drugs, like my background's in abnormal psychology and sociology. Core team is, I have Samantha, who's on my team, who's a pharmacologist. Is the general team, and this isn't of anything to do with the client at all. This has to do with the guys that are sitting around, or the guys and ladies that are sitting around, and they haven't gotten a call in a while, and they get a case, and they run right out to a house. Well, take into consideration that you are going into somebody's home that may not be stable, and that's a dangerous situation for them to get in.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's a simple thing. Like, for Christian, I will give a little bit of advice. There's a Walgreens or Albertsons or CVS or something anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask the question and you don't have the knowledge of side effects or blah, blah, or what a drug is even, you can call up your local pharmacy and just say, hey, what is this for?
Right.
And you don't have to give names. You don't have to give anything. Like, what, or WebMD, for all of us the smartphones, you can Google what the hell a drug is for.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. I actually have a thing on my phone, an interaction checker, so I can see, all right, well, this drug, if I can't think all right offhand, okay, what are these? Is there anything? I could put the two drugs in there, or even up to four, I believe, and it will tell me if there's any interactions. Because my thought, and I'm sure y'all could probably agree, is that nowadays people are put on a lot of medications, and I think a lot of them may not be needed because they put them on this medication for this, which causes this, which then they put on a medication for that, and then that causes something else, and it just, you know, it rolls.
Yeah, one of the big red flags for me is somebody who's not, and that's psychiatrists are, they love this shit, but people who are put on Xanax, it's like handing out Skittles for psychiatrists and doctors with anybody that has quote unquote anxiety. Which, if that's the case, then that should be the first red flag.
Right.
So, I agree with you completely. You can't just throw your stuff in the car, run out to a house, and say, hey, this is going on. You have to kind of feel it out first. It's like, what I equate it to is talking to somebody at a bar or a restaurant or something like that that you're trying to pick up, or you have picked up, and you have to go on the first date.
Right.
But you're going to be an aggressor on a first date and be like, oh, well, you know, are you crazy? Are you on Prozac by chance? Maybe?
Right.
So if somebody calls you to put you in a situation where you're in their private house or even a bar or a restaurant or hotel or whatever, you got to kind of feel them out and just be like, I don't have a good feeling about this.
Right.
And either prolong it or pass it off to somebody who, like you.
You don't like.
Who knows what that is. There's no shame in just saying, hey, I didn't feel comfortable, but I know this person is more equipped to deal with this client.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's no point in, especially if you don't have the experience or the knowledge, it's dangerous for everybody involved to just go in, you know, guns a-blazing.
Yeah. And now, aside from attaching the leads and pulling baselines and so forth, what's one of the things that your team does that you think is kind of out of the ordinary for most teams, I guess? What stands you apart? Hate to put you on the spot, but I got to ask.
That's right. Well, there's a couple things. This is where I'm going to brag a little bit. My tech manager, John Barrington, probably 2-3 years ago now, he bought a motorcycle. And once he bought the motorcycle, he wanted to buy a trailer to tow it around. He was only going to need to tow it maybe 1 week a year, maybe. So what he said is, we'll turn it into our command vehicle or our command trailer. So right now we have a 16-foot enclosed command trailer where he has hooked it up with just astronomical amounts of technology. He's even built some of our own equipment where we're testing out a thing he calls the I can't remember if he calls it the grenade mic or the shotgun mic, where he's able to put 8 mics off of one recorder. And it's kind of like a shotgun effect, where, you know, you can hear it go from one side to the other and kind of hopefully locate. So we're still tweaking that one a little bit. But that was one thing. The other thing is that we tell every one of our clients, as soon as they've made that phone call, well, once they've shot me an email, they shoot us an email saying they want, you know, asking for our help, I'm usually talking to the client within 30 minutes at the very latest. I'm on the phone with 30 minutes later, and everybody I've talked to says, you know, that's amazing, because a lot of people don't get back to them. once I've talked to them and you know, we've gone out on an interview and we've done an investigation, I've told them, I'll tell them every time, now that you've got us for life, no matter what. You can call us any time, day or night. You need us, we're there.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that, you know, I pride myself and my team on is, you know, if once we come out and do the investigation, that's not the last you see of us.
Right.
So many of them go out, they do an investigation, they don't get shit, or they get very little. They don't even bother to get back to the client and let them know, hey, we really didn't get anything, but that doesn't mean there's nothing going on, or, you
right.
know, you know, a lot of them, you know, they don't explain to them what the hell we actually do.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I dealt with one team that they had, I don't want to say any names, but they had Keystone cops basically were in charge of the team.
Right.
You know, they didn't document evidence very well. Each member had their own recorder. They were supposed to turn in whatever they found on their recorders, whatever they found on video. There was no pressure to do so. There was no set date for a follow-up meeting, you know, 3-4 days later or whatever. None of the investigators were informed what meds or anything like that the clients were on. And it just, well, Matt will tell you, that's why I started CPR East and based it here out of Richmond, was simply
right.
because I couldn't deal with the other team I was associated with.
Right.
I mean, even though this is not a quote-unquote scientific field, science doesn't back us.
Right.
It should still be done with as much professionalism and scientific approach as possible, I believe.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, most of them get my private cell phone number. They can call me at 2 in the morning. You know, holy shit, you won't believe it, a book just flew off my shelf. All right, well, find out where the cat's at. You know, something along those lines.
Right.
I've taken, well, hell, Matt's even given me calls at 2 in the morning. Hey, we got some weird shit going on. What can you see? I do remote view occasionally.
Right.
And what do you think, Matt? Fairly accurate?
I would say when I blindside you, I would say 95% accurate. And that's without, like, we're not having a discussion. It's, hey, I need to know what's going on right now. Well,
right.
Where are you? And then it goes from there. And I'll all I have to do is give Dennis an address.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, the living room's off to the left. You're in the family room, which is on the right. The door's in the center between the two rooms. It's an old carriage-style house. But, I mean, there are certain stuff that he's told that, I mean, it doesn't have to be accurate when it's relayed to me. But, yeah, I'd put him at, like, a 95%.
So, yeah, as far as the, you know, once you've got us as a client, or once we've got you as a client, you've got us as a team, you know, it's a long-term investment on both sides, I believe. They have to trust us, and we have to trust them.
Absolutely.
And it's very rare to find other teams that hold that same philosophy.
Right.
So I definitely give you kudos on that. Now, let's talk about a little bit of the fun shit. What's some of the freakiest experiences you've encountered thus far?
Went to a house, beautiful house, and the reports were that the lady of the house was being pushed. And at one point in time, it pushed her so far, it was about 4 foot, that she had fallen. It was in the bathroom, and when she fell back, she hit her neck on the corner of a wall, and it broke her neck. So we went out there, and we did an investigation, and the first thing I did was went to that bathroom and said, all right, let's see if we can figure this out. The bathroom was huge. There was absolutely, she was a shorter lady. There's absolutely no way, shape, or form where she was standing for her to trip and fall that far. It was probably 8 or 9 foot from where she was supposedly standing. Well, so, you know, we took it with a grain of salt, you know, because, you know, we couldn't prove it, she couldn't prove it. It's a, you know, it's an experience that she had. So we did the investigation, and it's a beautiful house. It's 2.5 stories and an attic. Now, the attic has a floor, all but about an 8-foot section. We had cameras everywhere, even the camera in the attic. I had one of those headlamps on, and it was, the light was on, and I was walking. There was me and another investigator up there, and all of a sudden, I guess you could say I black out. But I kept, next thing I remember is I'm catching myself in my arms, and my leg has gone through the ceiling. And that one little 8-foot section that didn't have plywood down. The investigator comes running over and says, oh, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I just fell through the friction floor, you know. We go downstairs, and I go to the family, and I was like, look, I'm so sorry. We will fix the ceiling. If you want to, you know, pack up and go home, we'll do that. You know, this is your house. I'm terribly sorry. I don't know what happened. I, you know, couldn't make any excuses because I had no idea. So they said, please stay. This kind of thing happens all the time here. So we're like, okay. Well, I was pale only because the house, I found out later, was a $1.5 million house. Yeah, I can't afford anything like that. So we obviously got the ceiling patched. But the thing was is that Later on, the founder that was there, he said, hey, dude, you didn't fall. You were pushed. And I was like, how do you figure? He goes, I'm going to send you something. You need to listen. So he sends me this recording, and you hear me walking, and then you hear me crash. And then you hear the investigator go, oh, my God, are you okay? Yeah, I just fell. And then the voice says, I push her. He goes, you were pushed. And I was like, oh, holy crap. So that was the freakiest thing I've ever had happen, because I still don't remember those couple of seconds of what happened. It's gone.
That's any instrumentation around you?
What's that?
Sorry, Matt, but any instrumentation, K2, EMF meter, anything at all around you?
No, not at that time. All we had upstairs in the attic was just a camera and a voice recorder.
Yeah, that's. I don't mind a lot of things. I can deal with them throwing shit at me. I can deal with them screaming at me. I'm not a fan of them choking me or punching me in the nose.
Right.
That was my bad.
Matt will tell you about me getting punched in the nose. I'm doing a remote for him, and just all of a sudden, like, it's a remote view on an area where this young lady was found murdered.
Okay.
For whatever reason, I just all of a sudden started seeing all these images, and I started seeing, like, video playing, and then I saw it from her eyes. And I remember being, like, in the backseat of this car, and I'm fighting to stay in the car. There's, like, two guys that are trying to pull me out of the car, and I remember seeing a fist. And then all of a sudden, I got this sharp, excruciating pain right at the bridge of my nose. My eyes watered. My nose started running. I bounced for 15 years. I know what it feels like to be punched in the nose.
Right.
I was sitting at my dining table. At my dining table. Nobody else around me. And I got that exact sensation. And it was all, you know, the only thing that I can
the only thing I can attribute it to is, you know, Spirit gave me a nice shot in the snoot.
Right.
I wasn't real thrilled with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, there's been some really weird circumstances around investigations and everything else. For some reason, every time I go on one, like, if I'll take my team, I seem to be their focus. I don't know if it's because I can communicate with them or I can see them or they see me differently, but usually I'm the one that's screwed with.
Right.
Well, we found out that if I leave the area and leave my lead in the area, Graham is the one that they will screw with. Which,
right,
I think is hilarious. The last time it happened for him, we were in Rikers Park, and there were probably eight of us sitting in the downstairs, like there'd be a gathering room in one of the houses. Now, the building is built just like it was in 1611, I believe. And we're just having a general chit-chat session. This is one of those locations where you go in and you don't just go, hey, if there's anybody here, will you talk to us, because they won't give you shit. But you'll hear them jump in frequently and loudly in the middle of your conversations. So everybody was in that living room, and we keep hearing this, just like I heard it behind me, and there was nobody near me for 6 feet in either direction. And I got my back against the wall. We get down in that area. Everybody goes upstairs. I went to the bathroom, go outside the stockade fence, go smoke a cigarette. I come back, and the first thing Graham does, he looks straight at me, points a finger at me, and he goes, you and I need to have him talk. What the hell? He's like, dude, you left. You know, usually you're the one they screw with. You left, and now they're screwing with me. So what the hell are you talking about? And he stepped around behind me, and he gave a little tug on my belt loop, and he goes, I got this. Hey, right at my ear, dude. I felt it right at my ear. I was ready to turn and punch somebody, and there wasn't anybody there. Awesome. Well, later that evening, just three of us were headed back into that building. I told Graham that I'm going over into the main room. We had a young boy with us that was like Graham's family, a 13-year-old. I said, you can sit over here in this chair, just put your recorder down there, and Graham, you get to go upstairs. And Graham's response right off the bat was, brother, I love you. I don't mean to be a little bitch about this, but I ain't going upstairs by myself. Why the hell not? Because you don't remember what I told you happened earlier? Why do you want to split us up anyway? And I actually have the EVP loaded up on the soundboard for this one. But the EVP, you hear me make the statement that the first one that gets anything, that's where we congregate. And then you hear a voice come back and tell me, well, I'll tell you what, let me, in just half a second, I'll scroll through and find this one. Here it is.
The first one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Goodness.
That second voice, the real deep voice you hear?
Yeah.
Wasn't one of my team.
Oh, nice.
It's louder than my team. Actually, that night, my team was just me and Graham and his, it was like his cousin's stepson or something, 13-year-old.
Right.
But I've got three recorders that caught it, and I actually pulled it up on a scope. Our voices were somewhere around the 21, 22 kilohertz range.
Right.
This thing's down at 8,000.
Oh, wow.
So it was definitely one of the coolest ones I've ever gotten. But,
oh yeah,
you know, it just goes to show you never know what the hell you're going to come up with.
Yeah. Exactly.
So what is... So aside from the, what's like some of the best like video or audio evidence that you've pulled?
Best audio evidence that we've ever had, excuse me, is at a place in Colonial Heights. It's called the Violet Bank Museum. Thank you. The Violet Bank Museum is one of our training grounds. It was Robert E. Lee's headquarters during the Battle of Petersburg. They have a cold storage room underneath, which is like a very small, looks like they could use it for an armory or something like that. The team was upstairs. We had recorders, obviously, throughout the place. And while everybody was upstairs, two floors up, the recorder in the cold room caught a Southern accent screaming, "Somebody take my dog," and there wasn't nobody anywhere remotely near where that was being said, and nobody heard that at the time. That was one of the best ones. We've had a couple, like, at that Goochland house that were growling people's names from the team. Video, we really haven't had compelling video as much as we've done. Like I said, we're the biggest skeptics. At one point in time, we thought we caught a shadow person in one of at the time it was a client, and now she's a member of the team. We thought we had caught a shadow person reflecting off one of the pictures. Well, we went back and recreated, and come to find out that when we turn all the lights off in the house, and if you're coming in through the garage door, and the light in the garage is on, and you open that door, the screen door, which is a glass door, it makes it look like there's a black shadow flying through the house from the reflection off of that picture. So we thought it was something really awesome. We got really excited, but we debunked it because we could reconstruct it. We were kind of, oh, man, but that's what we're there to do, is to, come up with a reason of why it happened.
Yeah, exactly. I got a request to play that EVP that I pulled once again. Like I said, the voice that you hear come back after I finish saying, "That's where we congregate," was not one of my team members, and it shows up on a scope way below the human voice range. So here we go one more time.
The first one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Goodness.
Now, I think, I don't know how well it's actually broadcasting. And with you being on the phone with us, Chris, that's going to be, you're going to hear it just as well. So I'm going to hit one of the chats and see what they believe it says.
Okay.
What do you believe you hear?
From my point of perspective, it's either get in or get in there, is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, and, if you listen to the statement that I made before that, the first one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Right.
And you can hear, goodness, it's like he was mocking me, which is what happens a lot in that room, actually in that whole building. And let's see what I got back on my, what I got back on my chat question was, get this or something on that line. So, even the chat folks can hear it just as well as we can. So that's pretty good. I'm surprised the board was able to play it, because usually the music sounds like shit to me.
Right.
But, yeah, it's definitely the strangest EVP I think I've ever captured. And it's damn sure the loudest. Usually they've got a lot of static come in with them. They're trying to speak through the white noise, supposedly, is what we believe is occurring.
Right.
This one, none of the three of us that were standing right there heard anything. None of us acknowledged it. And, walking away from the building, I started playing the recording and heard that and went, what in the hell was that?
Yeah.
And it's one of those where you just kind of look back at the building and go, somebody else in that son of a bitch?
Yeah.
But there's really nowhere to hide in the building. It's, you know, basically four open rooms, and we were in all four. So.
Right.
But, yeah, Tracy, I think you're right. It was like it was a challenge. But it was definitely cool as hell.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, in addition to hooking up the, even if you consider it medieval, EKG and so forth, what other instrumentation do you plan to incorporate into the future and see
well,
what
we're
changes
actually,
you can get there?
We're talking, I talked with the owner of Paranology's equipment over the summer about building some equipment for us that would pretty much be like a bracelet or a wristwatch that will evaluate every team member will have one, and it will have, like, be able to tell their pulse and their oxygen saturations and have a GPS to tell me where they're located at in this place and monitor it continuously and I through a computer at our command trail so that I can kind of see, we can see, you know, with cameras where they're at and also monitor on a computer their kind of vital statistics, so to speak, and where they're at and see if there's any fluctuation with it continuously. So, you know, that's just some of the things that we're working with right now. You know, obviously there are things I'm looking at, you know, down the road, like, making somehow a 12-lead EKG a lot more portable than what they are nowadays. You guys know they're heavy, they're cumbersome. If there's a way where we can put it at, you know, a little bit smaller, I'm looking at smaller ones to put, like, almost maybe on a backpack and have them attached to walk through that place, something like that. Just I'm looking at every angle I can. Like I said, you know, a lot of people really don't. Most groups will ask about medications that people are on, but a lot of groups, I don't think, and I may be wrong, but I don't think a whole lot of groups dive into it like what we do now.
Yeah, I think most of them just try to do, quote unquote, what they see on TV, but don't really know what goes into the back of that.
Right.
I've got a question from chat. Any ghost boxes being used by this team?
No.
I responded with, I use an SB7, but put it in a Faraday bag and have the antenna disconnected. He
right.
states that defeats the purpose.
And we don't use spirit boxes just due to the fact that the way we use our evidence. And if you take it to the most skeptical person, you say, this is what I heard. Now, if you break out a spirit box and you say, this is what I heard, the most skeptical person is going to say, it's a broken radio. It's picking up the most powerful radio frequency at that time, whatever it's saying, that's what's spitting out. So, therefore, we don't use it at all.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I use it, but it's more for myself than
right.
evidence that I'm going to turn in. But yeah, I
right.
use it with a Faraday bag, and I've got the antenna disconnected. The purpose of the Faraday bag, for those that
right.
don't know, is to isolate it from outside signal. It's an anti-static
Absolutely.
Bag. Hopefully, it prevents it. The other
right.
question that I've got regarding your monitors and everything, the question, well, I've got one statement says, let me scroll up here and find it again. EKGs have a tendency to throw artifacts with movement, and that's very good potential. So you have to make sure that he's wearing it is very stationary. The other one is, what about the monitors they use? Oh, shit. No, that's not what it says. That's what I said because my screen's rolled. Damn it, stop scrolling. No, scroll the right way, though. There you go. What about the monitors they use from doc offices that continually monitor?
Right.
Has false oxygen sensor and alarm with changes but prepared for movement.
Right, and those are like Holter monitors or the ones that they use in the hospitals that are wireless. they're also $10,000 a piece. So that's not happening.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at everything. So
that's why we all have four of them.
Mm-hmm.
No, I made each one of my team members buy one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And their homes are all in foreclosure now. Their cars have been repoed. Good job, Dennis.
No, the homes have. They're living in their cars.
That's right. The reason they're doing all these investigations, they just want somewhere to sleep for the night.
Something feasible, because there's two pieces of equipment that I would love to see that is, well, these aren't feasible, but there is one thing that I want your opinion on. I would love to see what would show up on X-ray, and I would also really, really wonder how an MRI would act in, like, almost like a portal, if you will, judging by the current, quote-unquote, knowledge. But, yeah, an MRI machine is not portable. An X-ray is, one, not healthy, but...
Yeah.
I would love to see how they would perform. And once everything goes off, shoot damn X-rays and just see if there's anything out of that fuzz, because it will be fuzz if it's not directed, how that would come back, or if an MRI would actually, if you would get an image through how that works. Like, that's a really, really cool idea, but, I mean, we're talking, we need Bill Gates money at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's
really cool.
The one thing that is feasible that I've been contemplating buying a couple of them just to see. You know those plasma globes, like you put your hand on it and all the energy directs towards that?
Uh-huh.
I've actually been contemplating buying a couple of those and implementing them into a communication device.
Well, now, that's like the Jacob's Ladder. It's pretty much what that is. I don't know if you've seen the Jacob's Ladder. It's kind of the same thing where they have two prongs in the, you know, you see the static electricity as pretty much lightning going up it. And supposedly if the spirits around, it can manipulate it, and you see the lightning kind of spread off from this Jacob's Ladder. So, yeah, I mean, it's probably a lot more. With the globes, it's probably a lot more safer to use. It's definitely worth a try.
It's like one of those things from, like, the late 80s, early 90s, where it has the pink, like, lightning inside of it. You put your hand on it, and all the beams shoot to your hand. It doesn't affect you at all. Well, how that works on a molecular level would honestly make sense. It's kind of like this is a very, very crude explanation, but it would be like the flashlight test, like turn the left one on for yes, turn the right one on for no, or REM pod or something like that. But how that works is the electronic signatures from your hand are what draw those minute millivolt beams to your hand.
Right.
So if, in fact, if something sets off a millimeter or it sets off, off an EMF detector, it would, like having a globe, if something does touch it, it would pinpoint where that is in a 360-degree radius.
That's correct. Yeah.
Where the actual field of body is where that energy is moving to.
Right.
So it gives you point of reference, it gives you connectivity, and as stupid as it sounds, $14.99 at Spencer's for that versus $10,000 for any sort of medical equipment. Yeah,
right.
I'll take the $15 piece that everybody can
Absolutely.
Buy and use and test.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But does the theory make sense is what I'm
Yes,
trying
it
to...
absolutely does. Like I said, you know, they use the Jacob's Ladder, which is pretty much the exact same theory. So, yeah, you know, and again, this is all theory. You know, why not? You got to think outside the box with this whole thing. You know, look at the simplest stuff that may work. You just don't know until you try.
Yeah.
Now, I just happened to think, Matt, you know, Hope was into the dolphins and shit for a long time. One of the dolphins that I bought her was one of those little plasma lightning shit storms in a glass. I'm going to have to, that's the best way I can put it. I'm going to have to set that thing up and see what kind of EMF field that thing puts off, because I'm sure it's high. And part of the purpose of the Jacob's Ladder is to supercharge the atmosphere. So I'm wondering what that little plasma, well, this one just happens to be a dolphin. So to my team, I'm sorry, if you see me unpacking a little glass dolphin at the next investigation, don't question me.
Well, in all truthfulness, though, with that actually could be a good trigger object, especially if it's a kid. Like, oh, pet the dolphin. Pet the dolphin.
Yep, absolutely.
Ah.
Yeah.
But
another one that I've got to throw at you here, Chris. Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
No, like, I've been doing a lot of research on this, and the Jacob's Ladder is a DC current generator.
Right.
Well, what seems to be a lot more effective, like, the EM pumps that you buy on eBay or wherever, throw those
right.
fucking things in the garbage. Honestly, they're crap. They don't charge an area. They don't do anything other than it's a little tiny piece of steel inside that's moving around a copper coil that emits something.
Yep.
But through a lot of research that I've done. Not the Vandegraaff, or not the Jacob's Ladder, but the Vandegraaff charging with static electricity due to, in theory, that activity picks up during storms or after storms. Well, that's what
right.
lightning gives off is static electricity, not a direct current. There's a
right.
huge, huge difference between static electricity and direct current electricity. Or even alternating current.
Right.
Now, it's a valid point. And I just happen to have one of the little EM pumps sitting right here beside me from the room that I'm in. That's my deer room. I am 3 feet away, and I can peg out a K2 meter with it. If I turn it off, the K2 meter dies back down to just its standalone green light in about half a second. But almost immediately I turn it on and it goes full. So, I mean, it's giving you a charge for about 3 feet. If I get beyond that, then I'm down to, you know, just one or two lights.
Right.
But
and
it's still a good
My tech manager, he actually built two of them. And we've used them a couple of times. But with our experience, what we've learned is that every time we've used them, any activity, if there was any, stops. So we stopped using them.
Yeah. Now, I've got chat that's asking, one of the things that she wants to start monitoring also is glucose monitoring before, during, and after investigations to see what the blood sugars do.
That's correct. The only issue with that is, now you're becoming invasive because, like you and I, and everybody knows, is that you actually have to stick yourself to make you bleed to do that. So, you know, I'm not trying to, I think I caused my team enough pain as it is. I'm not trying to inflict any actual bodily harm on them as it is. So,
why not?
You know, I mean, it's a good idea, especially if you don't know, especially with the clients. You know, if they're willing to do it, especially if they think that they may be or they know that they are. You know, what we do is we keep our client with us in the trailer while we're in their house. You know, and then we can actually monitor them while they're with us as well.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of poking myself. I figured out a long time ago that if my body decides I have too much blood, Mother Nature will help me. I'll cut my damn self somehow.
Yeah.
I did it today. I'm using the damn razor. I cut a little piece of vinyl tubing. What'd that do? I jammed my thumb with it. Yeah, way to go, genius.
Well, I tell you, before I get out of here, because I'm going to have to run, I got to get up early for another beautiful day on the neighborhoods. But before I ran, I wanted to put it out there as well, is that on April 5th, have you all heard of Jordan Springs in Winchester, Virginia?
No, I can't say as I have.
Okay, it's supposedly one of the more haunted places. Well, April 5th, the haunted collector, John Zafris, along with his son and daughter, Amy and Chris Zafris, are doing an ideal event management event there. I will be there as well lecturing. And after I lecture, he lectures, then we do a public investigation. So if that's, you know, for people that are in Virginia, if that's, you know, if they're interested, they can go to idealeventmanage.com to look up the tickets for that event. I have a feeling that more of those kind of things will be coming into Virginia in the upcoming year. So I just wanted to put that out there as well.
Oh, by all means, put plugs out there for your team, Facebook, you know, website,
yep.
Any of that. You're more than welcome to. That's part of why we bring you on here.
We got TriCityParanormal.com. We have a Facebook page. I have a Facebook page. Everybody on my team has a Facebook page. I've got Tony Hughes. She's our case manager. We have John Barrington, who is our tech manager. We have Tyler Adams Sr. is our tech specialist. My wife, Amanda Ballison, is a researcher. We have Teresa Gravel is investigator in training. And for those who are into, like, the heavy metal, we have Willie Adler as an investigator in training. So when he's around, he's one of the rhythm guitarists for Lamb of God. And when he's in town and has some time, he comes out on the investigations with us. So it's going to take him a little bit to get off the investigator in training side of things, but he's still with us. So, you know, feel free to find any of us on Facebook and friend us. We put up a lot of stuff, and especially John Barrington, the tech manager. He's our comedian. He just puts stuff up all day that's just hilarious. So feel free to friend any of us anytime. And you know, if anybody has any questions about anything, we're more than willing and more than happy to help out and answer any questions that we can.
All right. I definitely appreciate that, and I'm sure we'll be in touch as we progress through the year.
Absolutely.
You know, I got a couple of decent locations up around my neck of the woods. You're not far from me.
No.
You know, we may get together and go play one night.
Sounds great.
I'll introduce you to the one that choked me and calls me a fucker every single time I walk in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got one location that, like I said, I got choked, and right before I started this coughing fit, felt pressure on my throat. I captured an EVP that says, choke that fucker. And I started the coughing fit.
Yeah.
4 or 5 seconds later, that same voice kind of hollers, get a grip.
Right.
So, it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, well, I definitely want to thank you for coming on with us, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been enjoyable. For those that don't know, it's Chris Ballison with Tri-City Paranormal. Find them on Facebook and find them at TriCityParanormal.com as well. So if anything else you need to plug, brother?
That's it. I think that's about it. I appreciate y'all letting me come on tonight and talk.
Oh, not a problem, man. I appreciate you taking the time.
Not a problem. Y'all have a great night.
Yeah, I definitely would have liked to have taken a, I would have liked to have taken the whole 2 hours and chat with you, but I understand you got to get up early. So not a problem.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I will talk to you guys later on, man.
All right, brother. Thanks you so much, man. Have a safe week.
All right. You too.
So that was some pretty good ideas on, you know, the monitoring and, you know, just being able to keep tabs and see what's going on with the individual in the area. You know, as well as bringing up the EM pump. But, you know, I'm still not I do agree with you, Matt, in the extent that an EMF pump only does for a tiny area. If we could get something along the lines of, you know, one that runs off of a car battery or something along those lines, we may be able to charge a room. And the question comes in, are we putting out the right type of energy that would aid, I guess, for activity? You know, like you said, static is what generates off lightning and storms and things like that, and we're not putting that same exact charge in.
Well,
so it's definitely...
No, that's the big thing is there's not like a store you can go to and be like, oh, you know, I need something that works in the paranormal. There's a lot of things in general that just get put out on the market, and it's like, oh, well, they used this once possibly on TV, and it's a minimum of $75. Well, the reason that I bring this stuff up is because I've learned from experience. I bought the crap just to try it out, and I'm not saying it didn't work for me. I'm not saying that it doesn't work for other people. Every location, everything is different. But every single time in multiple locations that I've used it, it's like, well, what the hell are these two AA batteries going to do for me? When you actually take it apart and you look at the construction of it, it doesn't make sense. If you're only getting something that affects your meters within a 3-foot radius, think of how long it would take to charge a room. A full room.
Oh, yeah. And be able to trap that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, part of the goal is to be able to trap that energy so supposed spirit can use it, provided that that's what spirit can use to deal with us. Now, we've all had, you know, battery drain. I mean, I've got 2-hour batteries in my vid cam that have gone dead in 5 minutes for no purpose. So I think to an extent they are able to snatch energy from kind of whatever they want, but I really don't know if I want to say that I want to build something that does this. I really wouldn't know exactly how the hell to explain it.
Well, they're also, I mean, I guess there wouldn't be a way to build something that would invite battery drain.
I know a couple of toys that will drain batteries overnight.
Yeah, you know what? The new paranormal hot thing to use on location is a vibrator.
Yeah, I wonder if it emits static.
Well, it emits something.
Usually I hear squeals.
And we just went lowbrow.
Yes, Tracy, we are just wrong. And an ionization meter, wait a minute. Well, yeah, I mean, Tracy's got a point. High emotions do cause activity. And she also makes mention of an ionization meter and numerical EMF detector, a few static IR cams, and plenty of digital recorders. That's all you need. Well, Dana, you are right. Trouble is, I usually will screw up on one or the other of those items. But
well, it's you know, Mark and I modified a ionic breeze, and which is basically an ion generator that was made for market. The one thing with ions is that the people have tried this for a long time, but there's no correlation with it. Like it doesn't tie in anything that I've seen. I'm not saying that it can't, but it just, when I was researching and when Mark and I were building it, it doesn't, there's nothing about ions that show yay or nay that it facilitates activity. There is, however, another thing that you can get, well, a lot of people can't, and it's dangerous as shit, and Dennis, we talked about this before, the ozone generator.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, dude, I went into, you know, for those listening, I'm a contractor by trade. I got called to a cemetery to go look at the interior of a mausoleum building because they have moisture coming in through the walls. The tile floor looked like crap. As soon as I walked into this thing, those that have gone into any place with air scrubbers, you'll know that smell. This thing was flooded with it. And as soon as I walked in the door, I got just this massive headache. And I had, it just felt like I was being stared at from everywhere. Now, normally, I don't do that. Buildings, rooms, things like that don't give me the, like, creeps. But I'm wondering, I know they had two of the real huge dehumidifiers running in there and two of the big air scrubbers going in there. I'm wondering if they put enough energy into that room, and I wish at the time I'd had any one of my either EMF meters or, you know, anything, just even a simple K2. But that was the most energized room I have ever walked in. It's all marble around me. You've got water that's seeping in through a back wall, tile and marble floors. So I'm wondering if either the dehumidifiers or the air scrubbers were charging that atmosphere up like that. It felt like it was a cage. It truly was a cage.
Well, what an ozone generator is doing is it's actually sucking the oxygen out of the room. It's killing oxygen molecules. And that's, with carbon and oxygen, those two molecules that are in air molecules, they use ozone generators in hospitals to sterilize rooms. And Tracy, I'm sure you're familiar with those. They don't always call them ozone generators. They call them room scrubbers. But, excuse me, but yeah, they're nasty. I mean, they'll give you headaches. They can give you shortness of breath. They'll elevate heart rate. It's kind of like if you were to go to, like, Denver or anything that's above elevation of what you're used to and run for a long time. You can kind of get the same feeling with them. That's why it's not a habitable place after they're running.
Yeah, this, like I said, I didn't pay attention to what they had going in there. I'm assuming one of them was just a, well, I know that two of them that I saw in the room, I actually paid attention to them. Just regular dehumidifiers. But that won't give you that, like, stagnated, I'm not real sure what the hell it was, but, yeah, it was nasty.
Speaking of, like, EMF and environment and all that kind of shit, the dehumidifier is going to put out a lot. I mean, they just do. It's like just your regular desk or box fan is going to put off huge EMF. But, Dennis, we talked about this when I first met you in Richmond. What's your opinion about fear cage?
Well, it kind of depends on the individual. Anything with a low overhead, that individual is just a quote-unquote creepy environment, will create a fear cage. We went to Hanover Tavern down in the theater room. That is truly a fear cage. I could reach up and I could touch the ceiling, and it had all of the lights hanging down from the stage. It was small, slightly underground. I mean, you had to go down to get into it, but it had no windows at all. They had painted the walls black. They painted the ceiling and the girders and everything black. So, I mean, if you were susceptible to even the slightest bit of claustrophobia, that truly was a fear cage.
Right,
what is my opinion
of
them?
What about an EMF fear cage?
If an area is charged up enough, it's certainly going to give you paranoid feelings. You'll potentially, depending on how high the EMF is in that area and how susceptible you are to it, if you're hypersensitive to the electromagnetics, it can cause hallucinations. It can cause paranoia. It can even cause you to get upset stomach. It can cause you to get dizzy, lightheaded.
Okay. Well, I'm going somewhere with this. So
I know where
what,
you're going. What were my symptoms in that building? And that's why I'm saying I wish the hell I'd have had any of my instruments with me. But I had left one job and got a call to swing by that one. It was on my way. I wasn't going to run all the way across town 30 minutes and then 30 minutes back just to go get my shit. Next time, I'm going to run all the way across town 30 minutes and 30 minutes back just to get my shit.
Well, no, the reason I asked is with talking about all these fields and everything that can facilitate and feed energy for paranormal. With a strong EMF field, do you think, and what we've done for years and research and blah, blah, and a lot of stuff, do you think a high EMF field in a location would centralize paranormal activity or feed it?
According to what everybody thinks, EMF will feed because that's what spirit utilizes. I honestly don't know. If that is the case and that is an accurate statement, then when I go into my favorite location, they have a power distribution room where the electrical system is all at. I stay on four lights on a K2 the whole time. I would think that room would be super energized, and it would, you know, they'd be able to throw my ass around like a BB in a beer can. So I do believe that it can help with manifestation. I mean, there's got to be some energy source that they're pulling from, but it's yet to be determined exactly what it is.
Yeah, that's my point is, so if you go into a location and you have, call it a private residence. You walk down a little bit older house, maybe, you know, built in the 70s, you know, somewhere around there, that we don't have all the new codes that we have now of, oh, this has to be shielded wire, blah, blah, where you can run a green field for 200 feet throughout the whole house. So that is not enough of an EMF feed to the location. You need to bring in your little tiny battery-powered EM pump to try and get something?
Sure. And I'm going to walk around with it in my hand, in my right hand, and my K2 in my left. And I can feed them with my right hand and monitor them with my left. And I got to have my recorder on my neck, on the lanyard.
Yeah. make sure that you're also wearing a nylon jacket. And,
yeah, that gives that really nice. Every time you walk and swing your arms. But you know, Tracy's got a wonderful point. EMF will only pump juice into a spirit that chooses to tap it, and they still have a choice to communicate or not. That's very true. I mean, there are locations that I get wonderful EVPs with my team there. But if I'm not in the room, they don't get shit. Which goes back to my earlier question. I don't know if it's that they see me or that they know that I can sense them. I don't know what the difference is. But it's also a matter of the energy of the investigator, I think, or the personality. You know, just like you don't like 100% of the people you meet in a day, I'm the same way. We can only assume spirit is the same way. They have the choice. They need to talk to you or not.
Yeah, that's I brought up this point for a long time. If somebody walks in, and especially private residents, somebody walks into your house and they're like, you know, is there anybody here who wants to talk to us? Well, you know what, Dick, you're in my house. You should know who I am. Secondly, if you're going to come in and provoke, if somebody walked into your house and said, hey, asshole, you were mean to a kid one time in the past. You need to come talk to me right now. I demand it. If you're intelligent, you know you can't be seen, would you be like, fuck you, I'm going to hang out in the corner. And you don't know I'm here? Yeah, I'm not going to make myself known to you. You're a dick for no reason. I may have been a dick in life, but I'm not going to talk to you if you're a dick to me right now.
I would probably not talk to them, but I would make my presence known. You know that phantom book that the client reported flies off the shelf? I hope you're wearing a helmet, asshole.
Yeah. No shit, right?
Yeah,
I know. You're gonna come into my house and be an ass? Just wait.
Yeah, it's my job to be an ass in my house. I get that specific privilege. But we have callers online, so stand by. I know this one right now is Howard, so I'm going to bring him in. Howard, you with us, brother?
Hey, good evening, guys. How y'all doing?
Man,
what's
doing
going
good,
on, man? Howard?
Another beautiful day at the truck place, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. It's staying nice and toasty out there.
Yeah, it's not bad out here tonight. It looks like we got the heat going in the warehouse. I'm pretty comfortable.
A good deal. So, what is your opinion? Tell me your opinion on EM pumps. Good, bad.
You know, at this point, it's kind of insignificant as far as what I've seen and experienced. I don't believe that there is. Well, let's put it this way. Let me take back what I said. I would say maybe they could attract, but they're not really going to give you what you're really anticipating. I think, you know, Matt was talking earlier about the fear cage and EMF. You know, bad wiring and stuff. Now, to me, that would be more of a case of being drawn in than per se just a smaller little pump. It's kind of like a thumper, you know. Y'all remember Dune, the movie?
Yeah.
They had those sand thumpers that we call the sandworms.
Yeah. Right.
It's kind of the same premise. I mean, if you make a larger one, that may give off both a sonic type of thump and putting it against, I don't know, you know, two different types of metals, that's going to give off an energy signature, just like, you know, a friction signature. I would say that's a much better chance of attracting something and scientifically than a smaller EM pump, unless you have a larger one that's putting off a lot of power.
Mark and I made an EM pump that will peg. It will peg a K2 or it will peg a digital EMF detector from at least 15 feet away.
Oh, there you go. But
it's nasty. I mean, I want to buy a lead apron just to walk around this thing. Like, it's scary as hell. I'm not even going to lie.
Have you done any tests with it yet?
Oh, yeah. We've used it a bunch of times, and not a damn thing.
Now, Howard, you were out at Hanover Tavern with us. What was your opinion of the theater room?
Theater room. Wow. That's interesting, because I was actually thinking about that in Henricus, too, at the same time y'all were talking about it. Hanover Tavern in the theater, I think, is both psychological, because of its shape, but all the power that's just in that one room, it's enough to draw something in. But then again, I mean, wow, that's a lot of history. A lot of people have been through it. A lot of residual energy has been left. Looking at the bigger picture, I actually love that room. I don't know if you recall that is where we're getting to the back of the theater, but that's just amazing. And it can be psychological if more than one person is seeing the exact same shadow. But think not all the power was on. I mean, to the lights, yeah, sure, there's circuitry still running around. But where do we see the shadow? In the sound room and by the doors.
Right. Well, I thought somebody was actually in the, like, I guess you'd call it the projection booth. I thought somebody
right,
was
around.
In there. Yeah, because I saw him walk across behind the glass. But my reference towards the
theater room, we were talking about fear cage. Somebody that's susceptible to claustrophobia, do you think that room would pretty much make itself into fear cage psychologically?
Oh, psychologically, without a doubt. Just because, again, the dimensions and how the theater is set. And let's add to it. Let's add to the fact of what if they're subsistible, wrong word to use, submissible, there we go, to high EMF readings. I mean, there's many people that are affected by the EMF readings much more than so. So think about that. You had the dimensions and, again, the power that's down there. And then once they get on stage with the lights out, oh, that person's in a lot of trouble. Mentally wise,
yeah.
Let's say it that way.
Yeah, because that ceiling just feels like it's right over your head.
Oh, right. It's like, you know, it's kind of spreads out. It does that sand. Then, you know, it does the classical theater role where the ceiling comes at an angle and then your seats come down an angle, but the stage levels up and goes back up. So it does that pie thing. But it's an enclosed pie. It's not an open pie.
Yeah, it's definitely a strange little room. But
absolutely.
Anybody that is susceptible. Now, I didn't investigate there because it was kind of a home base for however damn many groups were there, so it was never quiet enough to do anything. And, you know, you and I were both helping lead the tour, so we didn't really have time to do anything. You know, we did a little bit of recorder work, and that was about it.
Yeah, that was about it.
I'd love to know what the EMF runs through that room pretty much as a constant.
Well, you know, we need to talk to Steve, because Steve's talking about going back and having us go back with him. So I think that's another good opportunity to actually get air baseline as a team and without clients, you know. It affected everything. It didn't affect just the research. It affected how we acted. You know, how things interrupted. I was feeding off people left and right. You can ask Rhonda about it. I was just like, my personality was changing. I'm like, okay, that's too much of this crap going on, you know. I was really getting fed into it. And I tried to keep my mind steady on, you know, I got to impress the people that are with us and then, you know, try to work through it. And then I can't deny the stuff that we did see, the shadows. That was no denying. The things that took place just made me crave to go back there, much like in Rikers. I mean, Francis got a few spots.
Yeah, there's definitely some cool areas. Now, I'm working on one for my team that I'm hoping I can get the owner to go along with it, but it's built in the 1750s. There's been some rather horrific events that have occurred on the property, and, you know, deaths in the family and, you know, infant death and things like that. So, and there's a lot of, you know, history there about things occurring, so I'd love to get into that one. But we will find out.
I love that. You know, that the further you go, the better I think you're going to get of just different things. Our location is the same. It's 1685. Yeah, 1685, active in 1712 to 1723 is when it became fully active and finished completion. And we just get remarkable responses there, too. It encourages me to do it more and more because I crave it more because I know there's more history there. And there's more than just that location. Think about, you know, what if it's a location for Native American activity? You got that. What else took place? Civil War, Revolutionary War, government of states, You know, the location that is a quote-unquote home base has been visited by, you know, Benjamin Franklin and George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, you know, Thomas Edison. All these guys have come through this house at one point or another. And just that much, is that's one of the things that feeds Ryan, because it's the history of that place. So anytime you can get a place with a long history, it almost craves you to break the code of what's there.
Yeah, more so because of the history than expectation.
Right, exactly. But if you get something, hey, that's even better, you know?
Yeah, that's the main part. I mean, the history of a location is what I really get excited about. You know, just like, you know, Ken Reichus, I just absorbed all the history that was going on there and listened to everything that, you know, the time frames and all of that. Now, what is your opinion? I've got one of the listeners in chat, Ross. He's out of Canada. I believe he's up in Toronto. He may have already blown away with the polar vortex. But he was asking about spirit boxes and things like that. What's your opinion on the spirit box?
You know, I think it could be a relative piece of equipment, depending on the frequency. Again, it's based on frequency. I know that Ryan and Amber are playing with that phone app that's a spirit box. But like I told them, I had to remind them, I was like, hey, that's digital. And, you know, what kind of responses you're going to get from digital? You know, but they're playing with it. I said, go for it. If that's something to encourage you and you want to try it, I don't have a problem with it. But spirit boxes in general, I think it's just like anything else. It's another way of communication if they choose to use that. I've actually thought about trying to find an old police scanner, and probably I'm going to get a old Uniden 1250 and modify it. I think they're accessible pieces of equipment. If you know how to work it, you know how to use it and what questions to ask. And then again, the old classical, how to open it and how to close it. That's a big thing with me because, you know, spirit boxes, ghost boxes, the whole nine, are the same thing as Ouija boards and everything else. You can open up something. That's my opinion. It is possible. And what if you start to communicate? Yeah, well, you know, that's a possibility too. Same thing with digital recorders and analog recorders. You know, how many occasions do we have of analog recorders, tape recorders, actually being, you know, bringing something back? Yeah, because that's imprinted on the tape. It's not a digital recording. So as far as ghost boxes and spirit boxes go, I think they're legible if you know how to work it. I know that there are items that you can purchase for your ghost box or spirit box that you can place inside called the spirit box itself that is supposed to reject the outside further signals and amplify the signals in a 20-foot to a 30-foot radius. That's something we haven't played with, but we're going to be looking at more, you know, this year. I got Amber actually on that. Looking into something to the fact of how would that be useful and would an analog police scanner actually be better or, you know, be more accessible than a standard, like a radio scanner, a standard regular FM, because that's different frequencies. And I'm looking at, you know, ohms and watts now. I mean, it's like Matt was talking about earlier, different powers, man. What's the different signals? What's the different frequencies? What are we looking for? What are we after? And, you know, homing down our skills on those locations and those frequencies is really going to give us the baseline of what we need to do and what we need to find and how we're going to communicate.
And again, it goes right back to everything is kind of an open book at this point. See what the hell works. You know, but it has to be repeatable.
Absolutely.
If it works one time and you never get that same result, well, kind of leads me to believe that it didn't actually work.
Yeah, it could have been a signal from somewhere else.
Exactly.
That's another reason why when we were talking on the phone, I guess we were talking about 2 months ago, and, you know, everybody's getting into the platform things now, and, you know, Best Buy and the other company want to use drones to drop off merchandise and stuff. But
yeah.
I've been using, you know, I have a gentleman that's here locally that runs Blade Runner Cinematics that we've been using as a side resource, and he takes the camera up on this beautiful platform and goes up, and the whole sole purpose for that for me is I want to see the location. I want to see how the area is located and how many cell towers, how many radio towers, how many, you know, cell phone towers are in that central location. And what about telephone lines? What's the grid like? Is it a heavy grid? Is it a light grid? And I really got to know these things. If we get a response off the spare box, and what about, you know, what they're going to, let's put it this way. What if we get poison, quote unquote, in our spare box? In other words, you get bleeding from TV radio or a radio station or a TV station. Now, how do you know? How do you know that, you know, you're not getting what you're supposed to, or you're getting what you're supposed to? You better have your facts. You know, because a lot of people are going to come at you and go, well, how do you know this? Because you got this. Well, basically, because I took a camera up 56 feet up in the air and spun it around and took a look to see what I had, and then I took a note of all the radio locations in the area. You do your science, do your back, and, you know, it's going to make the proof just that much more plausible.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, you're having a conversation with Spirit Box. Is there anybody here that can hear us? Wait a moment, you get a response. Well, how do you know you don't have a truck driver 2 miles away with a high-powered amp that's talking to his buddy, or not even his buddy, just what we call skip land on CD? I mean, I lived in Ohio as a kid. My parents had a CD from hell. And I actually had a conversation one night with a dude that was in Dallas, Texas, on a CB radio from Ohio.
Yep. Now, was that a regular CB?
Well, it was a base unit, but we also base had unit. This massive antenna that was 38 feet across and like 16 feet tall, set up on a, I think, 60-foot tower. It was nuts.
Hey, but you know, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, this is some of the stuff that I wanted to sit down with you and go over, because there's stuff that's in my head that just needs to come out, and these are the kind of things that we can put on a small scale to put in a structure, you know?
Yeah, but there's also some stuff in your head that shouldn't come out, dude.
Shush. Leave the other voices alone.
Hey, real quick, I want to throw out there, Howard, since you called in, and definitely appreciate it, do you want to throw in any plugs for anything you have in the last 6 minutes?
Yeah, let's do it. We're looking forward to a good year this year. I'm working personally with two Paracons this year. One in Hampton Roads, and, of course, I'll be helping Angel where I can with the Paracon at the exchange this year in September. Paracon in Hampton Roads is, I want to say, April 13th, I do believe. and that's being put on by Seven Cities Paranormal, great guys, Tim and Scott, props to them. Yeah, I'll give another prop out, too. Me and Dennis have talked about this a lot, but people need to be aware that Virginia is taking hold of the unity of paranormal groups and societies. It's finally up and running, Matt. We got BPA up with greased wheels, and we're moving forward with it. So be looking for Virginia to step forward and move in the way.
And with some of the great minds that we have in the association out here, I think if we all can sit down together, we can come up with some fantastic ideas.
I definitely agree. And, hey, anytime you want to bleed it my way, you are more than welcome.
Absolutely. We've actually talked about that, me and about five or six of the other directors. And once we get this thing greased and oiled, Chicago, New Jersey, and Texas are the three main locations that we're going to spread this idea to. And then we can, you know, have those three locations help us spread the idea even more on how we're doing it. So definitely, Matt, you're on our board, brother.
Sweet. You know what? I could probably actually help you out with New Jersey as well. Dennis, you know who I'm talking about.
Yes, sir, I do. That's
there you
square
go.
Root.
And
a lot of good
TV person.
There you go.
And,
we got an ambassador.
So is the other one from Chicago, too.
See? There it is. Yeah, once we get it greased up and oiled and I get it down the way I like it and the way that the other directors are feeling comfortable with it, we're going to spread it out. But we're only going to do it a little bit at a time. We're not going to do a whole big bang. We just want to make sure every state is going with what we got going on and doing it their way. They don't have to do it our way, but at least they got a formula to bring all the positive groups together to make a difference.
Yeah. And, hey, with that said, in the last 3 minutes, is there a Facebook page or anything yet?
Right now, it is a closed location. You can find us on Facebook at Virginia Paranormal Assembly. It is a closed group. It's by request only. This is just to, you know, keep a police on ourselves and others that are out there. Once we're up and running and we're full strength, the next plan is to go to a fan page and even possibly spread out to a client manager web location so people can contact direct client managers of that team.
That's awesome, man. Hey, Dennis, do you want to do the normal thing and close us out on air like you normally do?
I can do that, brother. We're down to a minute and a half. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are coming to the end of our live session. However, if you are called in or if you want to pull the archives, you can still listen to the remainder of us yapping. But we definitely want to thank you for joining us tonight on Full Spectrum Radio. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Chris Bellisone. We hope that you enjoyed some of the information that was shared. You can find me or Matt at CPR Matt, CPR Dennis. On Facebook, you can also find Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers at .com and Facebook. You can also find CPR Matt and CPR Dennis at Twitter. Don't be afraid. You can follow us. We're lost, but we usually find a way to do something.
No, honestly, I'll close that. I would be afraid. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Come on. People should be fearful.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding, bro.
Getting nightmares? Then you're not listening to Full Spectrum Radio. The best radio on the planet.
Welcome to my prime time.
Oh, shit.
So, yes, now we're in archive.
Archive! Yes. Oh, and we have CPR Tracy has been listening in all night, and she's the one that was cheating me so much. Sorry it went to archive before I got to do that, darling. But, yeah, Tracy had some brilliant ideas as well as far as, you know, pulse ox and things like that. I'm still not a huge fan of the idea, though, of, you know, having to poke my damn finger and keep track of my sugar. Because part of the problem with that, that means I'm going to, well, I can't walk around eating M&M's all night. I like to do that in an investigation because the crunching noise drives everybody insane.
Oh, Dennis, one plug I forgot to throw out. I will be speaking at the Starved Rock event that Ursula is throwing. Dates aren't exactly set yet, but I've done a lot of research about that area, and there was a suicide out, or there was a couple suicides out there, actually. People who threw themselves off of Starved Rock, which is the only topography in this area of the Midwest, I swear. It's a, I think it's 227 feet tall. But, yeah, there were two people that ended up killing themselves out there. There were a lot of Native American sacrifices that were out there. And it's a phenomenal, phenomenal location. And if you own a motorcycle in the Chicago area, go out to Starved Rock and ride it, and you will never ride it again if you live in the Chicago area. It's just absolutely gorgeous out there. Right? It's one of the only places that I've seen around here that have bald eagle.
Ooh.
Yeah. I've sat out there for hours just watching the eagles fly around, snatch up fish, and unfortunately a squirrel. But no, it's a gorgeous area, and the place, there's a restaurant at the top of Starved Rock that you have to walk up staircase upon staircase upon staircase that you can't drive to get to. That's where the event's being held. So.
Huh.
Yes. The dates aren't set yet, but I believe it's going to be in June.
That sounds awesome. That is awesome. Hey, let me say something real quick. The gentleman that y'all had on right now, tonight, Chris Belafoon?
Yeah.
You cannot find a better director than Chris. And the man knows his shit. I've learned a lot from him. He's been a good mentor to me over the past years as far as, you know, learning the aspects of the medical side and helping me grow this team that I have now. So, y'all, it was just awesome to hear Chris tonight. I just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah, cool. I was looking through a lot of his stuff, and I mean, Dennis knows him. I unfortunately haven't got the pleasure to meet him in person, but yeah, it's the one thing I've noticed about this field is everything is becoming to seem like redundant almost. There's nobody in, or there's very, very few who are in Bennett. And he seems to be on that track of developing new ideas, new theories, and being a conscious, evolving mind. in it, and that's for sure what we need.
And that's what DPA is trying to aim for, is that same mentality across the board, and where we can share that information across the board.
Amen.
Yeah, but and I'm going to play devil's advocate real quick. There, and I know the screening process is going to be awesome, but there's going to be some bad eggs that are going to come through and misrepresent themselves and their team of what they try and do. And that for sure is
you're right.
What?
I said you're right. You're so right.
It definitely is unfortunate, but at the same time, as long as there's no bullshit, no hate going on, you know, no crosstalk.
That's one of the things that we talked about, was there's no team bashing from Team A to Team B, and nobody is permitted in without a general consensus. You know, new team leaders are put to a vote amongst all of us as to whether they can come in and what is known about their team.
Yeah.
When we opened the door for VPA, it was like a flood door opening up. And then everybody's like, oh, let's bring them in. I'm like, okay, well, and we started bringing people in, and we realized it's too fast. We need to slow down, because what's taking place is people are just coming in, and it was a minor vote that was taking place. You know, I'm not saying the people we brought in were bad. By any means, I'm not saying that. But when it takes place, you really got to take your time and slow down and know that your majority, say if there's 83 people in, you have to have at least 40 of those directors. You would like 40 of those directors or those people in that room to be able to vote yay or nay. To be positive, to be fair to everybody, because you don't want somebody in your assembly, quote-unquote, in there that may cause havoc or trouble. And those are going to happen. When it does happen, you have to stand firm as a society together and say, we're not taking that. This is your first warning. And if they do it again, just say, you know what? You've broken what we've said. We do not accept it. We're done. You have to leave. We're sorry, but you have to leave. We will not put up with that. That's not the way we do things. And it keeps a camaraderie among the group and affirmative action, and shows that the greater of the good will stand front against the negative and the harsh.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they still let me in, so it's proof. They will let assholes in. They just have to be intelligent and worthwhile assholes.
Intelligent and lovable assholes. That's right.
Yeah. It's all you got to do is learn how to play the system, and you're in.
You said I'm lovable. I knew you loved me, Howie.
Oh, well, you know. You are my brother from another mother.
Yeah, I know, and you're still wishing Mama had swallowed.
You're right.
No, I think Howard's wishing that Dad, on the one occasion, wore a condom.
This is so wrong. I am so abused.
We won't go that far.
That's all right. Every time I text him or message him on Facebook, it started out as an error the first time.
Yeah, here it comes.
I got to the H-O, and I hit enter and sent it. And I'm like, oh, shit. And then I hit W-I-E and sent that. so it read, you know, whatever I was saying to him, and then called him Ho. And then I called him Wee, so now his nickname from me anyway is Ho Wee.
Ho Wee. It's better than no hell.
No, that's my name. That's my name with Dennis's phone.
Until I was 7, I thought my name was Dammit Dennis.
Like, oh, hell, Matt's calling me.
Yeah. I don't know. And see, you told me you weren't going to use your psychic powers, Matt.
Yeah,
here you are.
No, I shut those down a while ago. I just know you too well.
Here you go, using the psychic powers to see how you're listed in my phones.
Like I said, I shut those down a while ago. I just know you like the back of my fucking hand.
Well, that's disturbing.
But the back of my hand actually says Dennis. I don't know if you saw that tattoo.
You got my name tattooed on your hand? I hope it's not the one you normally use.
Better on the hand than the butt.
It is the hand that I use because I've seen to fuck you on a lot of occasions.
Oh my god. Oh shit.
Oh. I don't mean Cool Spectrum Unleashed, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. The archive is unleashed. Come on,
let me hold
this.
All right, here we go. One moment. Hang on.
Don't joke around. Listen to Full Spectrum Radio, and you'll get a smile on your face.
I love that one.
I need to do something for you.
When was the last time we talked to Paul?
Just a few days ago.
Paul! How's he doing?
Well,
I haven't heard shit. What?
Well, actually, go look for Freddy versus Jason and you won't find it. They closed his profile because somebody bitched about him for some reason, so... Now you have to do a search for just his personal name, which was Paul Gmitter, G-M-I-T-T-E-R. What the hell are you doing, Howie?
I'm actually working on stripping out some notes for Angel for Sunday. Sorry.
It's all right. I just got here in this. What the hell is that?
Between typing that, working in the warehouse, taking care of the techs, and trying to keep my brain from exploding through my ear holes, I'm okay. I need a beer!
That's always subject to possibility.
Yeah.
Oh, also...
Okay.
Dennis, I forgot to tell you about this one. Howard, just so you know, too, I canceled 5 speaking events before the New Year. And some of those included I canceled Printerfest because we all know how that goes. But I also canceled Scarefest amongst a couple other ones. But the ones that I'm doing for sure is at Starved Rock here in Illinois. But Jenny Gurney also invited me to speak at her event, and also did Tim Miley.
Ooh.
So, might be, well, Jenny's in Minnesota, and Tim's in, I think it's going to be in Appleton, Wisconsin again.
Well, why did you cancel us out of Scarefest?
Because that was during the don't feel like doing this anymore time.
I'm with you.
Like shutting down the group, and I never asked to go back into it. I really don't care. I mean, who's truthful? Who's going to show up? Like, people will show up to hear us talk on the radio, and, I mean, we have an awesome listenership. But we talk every week on the radio. Like, how much redundancy would there be to speak at an event?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, it would be nice of them to pay for us to turn out there, but I'm not
well,
sure.
Well, that's still a possibility.
I mean, I'm not sure what the benefit to them would be to have us, you know, actually do the speech. But we'll talk about it, my brother. But, hey, it's quarter after 11, man. I'm exhausted. I didn't sleep well. Oh, by the way, I did discover something last night. If I
you don't sleep
you
well?
Well, no, I discovered that a couple of months ago. I got to sleep last night. So it somehow or another during the night ended up right next to me on my pillow. Now, for those that don't know, Scarlet is my 60-pound pit bull. Absolute cuddle bug. She found out just how fast she can get smacked when she leaned back to lick her ass and lick my armpit in the middle of the night. I wasn't sure whether to jump out of the bed, shit, and go blind, or start swinging. I opted for the start swinging.
That must have been Scarlet.
Yes. Yeah, Scarlet's an absolute cuddle bug. I mean, anybody that's seen pictures on my Facebook has seen Scarlet cuddled up with me. But at this point, I believe I'm going to call it a night, my friend.
Yeah, that works. Howard, thank you, sir. Always definitely a pleasure.
Oh, you're welcome, guys. I love getting on here talking with y'all when I can. It's not very often I can now, so when I can, I jump on with you. I appreciate you letting me jump on with y'all.
All right, man, we enjoy it. Don't sweat it. Anytime you want and anytime you can, jump in and join us, brother. We always
Amen.
Have a good conversation.
Yeah,
let's
get us. I know it's an archive, but play us off with something.
What?
Play us off with something.
Oh, I'm going to. Ladies
no,
and gentlemen, this brings...
What I said is pay fucking attention.
I am... You said play us out with something.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Well, I was getting ready to, Jackwagon.
I was giving you shit.
Oh, well, watch this. Allow me to return the favor, my friend, and I will give you shit. Why? Because I can. And because I'm very good at it. And because it drives
yep.
you insane. So
yes,
if here. By chance... If
Here comes my EVP.
Yes. If by chance our dear friend Bruce Tango is listening, brother, this one's just for you.
It puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again.
Oh, by the way, he said his favorite is the one that I fucking up.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And that was verbatim.
I think that's this one.
It puts the lotion on his skin or else it gets fucking...
fuck it. Stop that one. Yeah,
that's
so
classic.
There you go, Bruce.
It puts the lotion on his skin or else it gets fucking...
Yeah, still want to torment me, Matt. You know I'm gonna
do. I know.
All right. I have a wonderful song to play us out. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another freaky, strange, fun episode of Full Spectrum Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. You can catch us again next Wednesday evening. Who knows who we'll have on with us? Who knows what craziness we'll get into? But you can catch CPR Matt and myself at CPR Matt, CPR Dennis, both at Facebook and Twitter. You can also catch Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers at .com at Facebook. We don't have Twitter on that one yet, Matt. Maybe we need to work on that. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful night.
1, 2, 3. Broken heart.